USAID has been working here in South Sudan for a very long time. But we really have two major parts of our mission. One is the humanitarian side and providing life-saving assistance, emergency food, shelter, protection, medicine, water, for millions of people. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we're working on longer-term development programs in education and health, working with civil society, with media, to try to help the people of South Sudan build a better future for themselves. And of course, our mission here, USAID, we're only one part of the U.S. government effort in South Sudan, and other U.S. government agencies such as State Department and Centers for Disease Control are also working to help the people of South Sudan in a variety of areas.
Yes, and talking particularly on the humanitarian point of view, how big has your operation been over the last, let's say, 5 years?
Well, over the last 5 years, USAID's humanitarian assistance has totaled almost $4 billion since 2013. Over the last year, we provided over $640 million in humanitarian assistance, including over 800,000 metric tons of urgently needed food. At the same time, on the development side, we're providing approximately $70 million a year for some of the programs that I mentioned in education, health, agricultural development.
Someone listening now will say this is a very huge amount of money, definitely. Why do you do it?
Well, we do it because USAID's mission around the world is to work together with people in different countries to help them address their development challenges. And certainly here in South Sudan, there are many challenges that we can work together on, in particular on the humanitarian side.
Have your government at one point or the American people say, you know what, this is just tiresome. We can't just keep providing all the time for people who should be able to support themselves. Are these thoughts not coming once in a while?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I would say in USAID, when we talk about foreign assistance, we talk about it as a journey to self-reliance. And that means that the people of the United States work in partnership with the people of whichever country we're working in this case, South Sudan, to look at how to help walk together down that journey to a better future where countries are more self-reliant. That where they're expressing the commitment and the capacity to solve development and humanitarian challenges. And that journey to self-reliance, the goal at the end of the day is to actually end the need for foreign assistance.
Let's talk about the process of, you know, allocating these USAID resources across the different organizations implementing the USAID project or programs in South Sudan. How do you do it?
Well, we do it in a very open and competitive way. Each of our activities, when we're selecting a partner, we publicly advertise and let the public know, or interested parties or organizations know, what we are interested in funding, what the needs are that we're interested in addressing. And then we go through a very rigorous analysis of proposals and bids to try to find the right partner for the right program.
And as you mentioned earlier, the amount of money you put in supporting on humanitarian and development, you know, projects in the country, do you see your results? Do you see this was worth it?
Absolutely. We track and monitor our programs very closely. It's a challenging environment to deliver assistance and to try to find solutions. But so far, we're very happy on the development and the humanitarian side. On the humanitarian side, assistance from USAID is reaching 1.5 million people each month with critical life-saving assistance.
What will you consider as your biggest achievement so far of the USAID in the country?
Well, I think on the humanitarian side, you have to point to the number of people that are benefiting from this life-saving assistance. I will say one of the things that is exciting right now is working on resilience and recovery in different parts of the country, and there's great potential in that.
Tell us more about that, the resilience and in the country, building resilience of on what you're working on.
Well, essentially, working on resilience, it's not just USAID. It's a cross-section of a number of international donors, including the UN organizations, where we've committed to working in a more integrated, coordinated fashion across both humanitarian programs and peace-building programs and development programs. In a way that we hope by bridging those different kinds of programs, we can actually produce more results and more sustainable results. But the partnership is not just a partnership with amongst the donors. It's a partnership with local communities and local leaders who have committed to working together to solve their development challenges and their emergency challenges. So we think it's very exciting. We were just in Yambio recently and earlier this week in Torit, where we saw a tremendous amount of interest across a full spectrum of community groups and leaders for them expressing interest in finding solutions to their own problems.
Now, James, on to partnerships. Who are you partnering with in the country, or who are your partners in South Sudan, and what are the key priority areas the partners are engaging?
Well, we have a wide variety of partners. Some of our major partners are actually within the UN system. So, for example, UNICEF is a major partner for USAID implementing some of our education programming throughout the country. Obviously, other UN groups like World Food Program are key players and key partners for USAID on the humanitarian front. We also work with a network of non-governmental organizations, both international and local, to deliver critical humanitarian assistance throughout the country. We work with faith-based groups, such as the South Sudan Council of Churches. We work with private sector entities and nonprofits to deliver assistance in some key areas. Aside from the humanitarian, which we've talked about, on the development side, we're looking at essential services for the people and citizens of South Sudan, particularly in education and basic health services, but also trying to get at the potential that South Sudan has, for example, in agriculture, where there's huge opportunities for agricultural production to increase and have markets thriving and have economic opportunities created. Finally, civil society and media and working on conflict mitigation at the local level is a very important part of our program.
Yes, and with the recently signed peace agreement, hopefully it's implemented to the fullest. Do you see your programs or your strategies of how you operate your programs changing, particularly during this time, if the peace agreement stands?
Well, it's critical for the peace agreement to be implemented. The end of violence, the end of conflict will create opportunities for all of us, not just USAID, but for all of us to deliver on a variety of challenges in the country. So that's we would like to be able to see a situation where there is peace and stability, and that will create space to continue to deliver humanitarian assistance as needed, but also to do longer-term development interventions that will build a foundation for a better South Sudan.
What will you consider as your biggest challenge as you try to go about with helping the people of South Sudan?
Another good question. I would point to two issues that are challenges or constraints. One, obviously, security, and that's for everyone working on these issues. It's a very dangerous country for aid workers, the most dangerous in the world. But that is not preventing the aid community from delivering and doing its job. But it is dangerous, and the security is a challenge. Maybe that will change. Also logistics, a very tough place to deliver, to travel. But our partners are experts at logistics, and they're finding creative and innovative ways to overcome logistical challenges. I would point to, for example, World Food Program now delivering food via river barge as a creative and new way and less expensive way to deliver assistance.
What are your thoughts on critics who say that continuous support or flow of support from countries like the USA is aiding the dependency syndrome and not doing South Sudan and its citizens any good?
Yeah, this is a very important question. You know, obviously the goal of assistance from USAID or any other donor is not to create dependency. But in a conflict situation, in a crisis situation, the imperative to deliver life-saving assistance stands at the top of the list. And so that is the priority. No one wants to be dependent on assistance, and we hope that we can help create a situation where the need for humanitarian assistance goes down and the people of South Sudan can focus on their self-reliance, on their potential and the ability to deliver basic services, to have kids go to school, to create economic opportunities, to get back in the fields and grow their own food and their own crops, for people to be self-reliant.
Just before you go, James, how will you describe to our listeners USAID's future in South Sudan?
Well, before I mentioned that we think in USAID about a journey to self-reliance, and so I see that journey continuing. USAID, the people of the United States working hand in hand with the people of South Sudan for a better future. We're committed to that, to solving development challenges, both on the humanitarian side and the development side, in a way that we hope South Sudan will reach its potential. And there's enormous potential here across the spectrum.
We discussed a lot about humanitarian, on how you're helping on humanitarian. Tell us about the developmental projects that the USAID is doing right now as we speak.
Well, one key one is in the health sector, where you have some very low and challenging health indicators, particularly among mothers and children. In Torit, we went to go visit a health clinic, and we saw both the challenge and the opportunity. Now, the opportunity was a very good hospital, people working together to provide health services to citizens. But the challenge is there's a lot more that needs to be done, particularly for young children under five, for their basic medical care. Mm-hmm. In terms of other development programs, I would point to education services, especially for the next generation in South Sudan. Young people need those educational opportunities to develop the skills so that they can play a role in shaping a better future. And then finally, we do a lot of work at the local level, working with community groups, with local NGOs, with youth leaders, women leaders, on important issues related to community development, conflict mitigation, and addressing some tough issues like gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. So we're very committed to a development program while at the same time ensuring that our life-saving assistance continues to get to those who are most vulnerable and most in need.
Do you sometimes feel donor fatigue? Like, okay, you know, we can continue doing this.
Absolutely not. It's a big job here. It's a big challenge in South Sudan. But I think for those of us who work in development or humanitarian assistance, we're driven by a commitment to serve others for public service. And that provides boundless energy to tackle all these many challenges. So,
James,
no fatigue.
James, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. Your final remarks, please.
I've been in South Sudan for about 6 weeks now. It's been a wonderful start, a lot of great hospitality for all the South Sudanese that I have met, both in Juba and outside of Juba. I'm excited to be here. I'm adjusting to the hot weather, but so far it's a good start. I arrived the same day, September 12th, that
the peace was signed,
so that's shaped my first couple of weeks, and we would hope to see the peace agreement, the revitalized peace agreement, fully implemented so that the people of South Sudan can have a better future.
Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.